Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Hey, good morning, Kansas City. That was fun. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. Jake, did you have any idea? Just went off the air until I heard the words, mics are hot. It was
no idea.
Frantic there for a moment.
You sound a little different.
Dylan Michaels stepping in, and do I sound bad?
Not great.
You don't sound good.
Yeah. My connection or me?
Well, I mean, your voice, it seems pretty good, but something about the connection, it sounds very digital.
Something happened.
Overmodulated or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we lost connection, then we had to reconnect.
I don't see you even connected.
Hey, off and running.
Hey, really?
The ball is tipped.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see you on the tie line.
We're not. You don't see me connected?
No. No.
How is this working?
I don't know. So I imagine that's why it sounds like this.
By my sheer will, I'm making this happen. How about we try, I'll disconnect and try to connect again. How about that?
Boom.
That's a great idea.
Hey, Nate.
Yeah.
The words that you long to hear. Do some talking.
Oh, boy. Hey, Nate. Funny you should ask. Good morning, Kansas City. We're going to get Steven reconnected from downtown in the Power and Light District, where the Miller Lite Fan Fest begins today, Tuesday. You're hearing that right. Back in the day, when I was a young pup at Bishop Ward High School, the Big 8 tournament was just Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? Then it expanded to the Big 12. And we got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
All right, stop talking now. That's enough.
Oh, hey.
Enough of you.
There you are. Okay.
Now how do I sound?
A lot better.
And I see you connected.
Hey.
Man, that was weird.
The old reboot.
Here we go. And away we go.
The Big 12 tournament.
Let the games begin. So. Yeah, I'm here. We're in what I call the Sports Radio 810 hot box. Guess why I call it that?
I can guess a couple reasons.
It's about there's not a thermostat in here, but my guess it's 114 degrees in here. That's what I would say.
Nice, getting a little
just having a good knowledge of temperatures.
Some hot yoga while you're in there.
Yeah, we are in the. The Sports Radio 810 broadcast booth, known as the 810 Hot Box. That sounds like it'd be a good show on a Friday night. Welcome back to the 810 Hot Box.
You're in the Hot Box with Curtis Siebel.
Whoa! Now, why do you have to mention? Why do you have to bring him into it?
Well, no, I just feel like he'd be in the Hot Box.
He didn't do nothing to you. Maybe he did. But I'm here. Dylan Michaels is here, and that's two people, and that's. That's all should be in here, really. You know, it's comfortable. He's got an up close view, and he's going to listen to the show. But we're right at the entrance to KC Live, across the street from T-Mobile Center, which, of course, is the site of the Big 12 men's tournament and the Big 12 women's tournament. We have two games for the men today, and we have the championship game for the women. And so you can come down here and enjoy everything that's going on, not only the basketball across the street, but, of course, everything that will be on stage here like we are every year. And so it's a celebration of basketball is what it is, don't you think? That's a good description, Nate?
Almost like a fest, like a festival.
Yeah.
Like a fan fest.
Oh, is that right?
Something like that.
All right, then. Miller Lite Fan Fest.
Yeah.
Come on down. Get on down here. Miller Lite Fan Fest Live. And you know what?
It's the Big 12!
it starts now, literally. So if you want to come on down here and have some fun, you know, also I would like, Nate, I hate you for sending me that video that I keep watching. So
me?
Yeah, you know what you sent me. I think on Friday. Don't play with me. You know exactly what you sent me. And I just saw it again. The anger fuels me. So, and by the way, I'm gonna put you on the record. So there's not gonna be any. Oh, I got caught up. What time are you gonna be down here?
I'm meeting at 11 o'clock. So I think it should last till 11:30. So down there probably by noon or so, maybe noon 30, to be safe.
Yeah, be safe. Come on down.
Oh, I'm coming down today, buddy.
So you can come down and enjoy all the festivities for Miller Lite Fan Fest. If you go, I mean, I can imagine if you want to check with Tickets for Less, tickets can be had for today's matchups, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I would think. You know, I think our only hope for having like an overwhelming crowd today was K-State falling into this session. They didn't, thankfully for them.
Right.
But you know what? We still got basketball. And honestly, like, if you want to come down and just watch some basketball, skip work or whatever, you don't want to deal with, like Wednesday night, that'll be wild because you'll have KU and K-State in the same session. Right? So that'll be, and you'll be here for that.
Yeah.
So that'll be crazy. But today you can come down and at 11:30 a.m. Oklahoma State against UCF, and then at 2 o'clock you've got West Virginia and Cincinnati, and of course that should be of interest to you guys because West Virginia and Cincinnati will play for the right to take on Kansas. And Nate, as you predicted yesterday, you jinxed it. Kansas will be shorthanded in this tournament.
Way to go.
Oh, yeah.
Had to run your mouth yesterday, and now no Hunter Dickinson and no Kevin McCullough.
So. I thought jinxing was when you did the opposite, you know, and you said, hey, well, they're going to be fine. They've got McCullough and Dickinson, and then they don't play.
No, you talked about it. You just made it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nate Buchanan.
Spoke it into existence. There's all kinds of ways you could jinx something, man.
Apparently so.
Well, so now that we know this, do you still think they're going to be underdogs against Cincy or West Virginia?
I think it depends on how educated the betting public is or the people that bet on this game are.
Would you say Jake is educated?
Yeah, would you, Nate?
I'd say he's got a PhD in the School of Hard Knocks.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Very, very street smart man.
I think it doesn't matter who it is, Cincinnati or West Virginia.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I'd probably go with that. But I just don't know. I don't know, man. It's in Kansas City. Allen Field House East, you know, whatever you want to call it. So maybe that sways things a little bit. But without Dickinson and McCullough, this Kansas team, I don't know.
So that's the afternoon games, morning afternoon games, but then tonight, it will be wild here T-Mobile Center, because last night in the Big 12 women's tournament in the semifinals, Texas and Kansas State, which was a marquee matchup between top 20 schools, K-State 16 and Texas 5. Texas wins 71-64, and so they advance to the championship game. And then Iowa State pulls the upset on Oklahoma. Oklahoma, the one seed, number 17 in the nation, they lose. Iowa State put it on them, 85-68. And so Iowa State gets it done. And so this could be the week of Iowa State down here. And so if you are a fan of women's basketball, or if you're a fan of wild atmospheres, that should be crazy tonight, as Iowa State and their fans, I'm sure, will fill up T-Mobile Center, and they'll take on the number 5 team in the nation, Texas, for the Big 12 championship, and that's at 8 o'clock. And if you can't get down here to watch it, it'll be on ESPN2. And so that'll be a super fun atmosphere. And so there you go, Iowa State. Yeah. And I would imagine that a whole bunch of Iowa – and they're already – I mean, I saw some of the players in a press conference over the weekend talking about how enthusiastic the crowds have been and how excited they were to have their fans filling up T-Mobile Center. And I would imagine that a whole bunch of people, if they weren't coming down, you know, early – they're coming down early to support their women in the championship game and get ready to support the men as they could make a run in this tournament. And so Iowa State's going to take over tonight, so you can be a part of that. That'll be a fun atmosphere.
So the 14 years that I did play-by-play for the Kansas women's basketball team, obviously I was up in Ames at least once a year for those games. They always, always have a really good crowd for their women's basketball team. They had the same coach that they did all the time I was doing those games, Bill Finley. He's been there forever. And they always have a team that has at least 4 kids that can shoot the three. Like every kid, like their big player can always shoot the three. They can hit three-pointers, and they're fun to watch because of that. And last night in that upset over Oklahoma, they went 52% from beyond the arc. And there's a kid from Derby, Kansas, who's a freshman. So if you want to throw a little more local flair in there, named Addie Brown, who went 4 for 5 from beyond the arc in that game, knocking off the number one seed. What a big moment that must have been for her at a place like T-Mobile to go 4 for 5 from three in the semifinals of your conference tournament as a freshman. So you're right. Iowa State fans will turn out. It'll be a great crowd there tonight, but there will probably still be some tickets. And if you want to go see a really fun, exciting game in a really good atmosphere, you should go down there tonight. You'll have a great time.
We'll play some comments later from their head coach, the Texas head coach, Vic Schaefer, who did you guys see any of these comments after the game yesterday? He expressed, and, you know, and Texas is leaving the conference now. He shared some strong sentiments about why the Big 12 women's tournament should have been at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City here 10 years ago instead of Municipal Auditorium. And P.J. Green from Fox 4. Nate, your nemesis or your friend?
Great amount of respect for P.J. Great amount of respect for him.
Does he feel the same?
I don't know about that, but I think so.
Right.
He texts me about MLS soccer sometimes because he watches all the games, so I really appreciate that.
So he tweeted out the sound, so we'll play maybe in a couple of segments. I think it's worth a listen, and you know, they're going to play tonight against Iowa State. So yesterday, I know that, Nate, I don't know how much attention you were paying, but every time I would refresh on Twitter and X, I would see a tweet from Jake Gutierrez or something from Jake, and I'm sure, Jake, you were seeing. I was trying to retweet everything, man. I couldn't keep up with all the moves in the NFL. It was crazy. That was, I mean, we knew it was going to be wild, right? We knew it was going to be crazy, but that even
are you ready for
was overwhelming for me. I mean, there's so many signings, so many trades, so many rumors, so much anger. And look, it hasn't stopped. There's some moves that have happened this morning as another quarterback signing happens, as Diana Rossini from The Athletic tweets out that Sam Darnold was deciding between Denver and Minnesota. Denver and Minnesota were vying for the services of Sam Darnold, a quarterback who used to have the love of Jake Gutierrez. I don't know if you still do.
He still does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still root for the guy.
round of applause.
He's not a fickle fan over here.
Let's get a round of applause for Sam Darnold, who had offers from Denver and Minnesota, and he picked Minnesota. So things continue to go well for the Broncos. As Sean Payton and the Broncos could not convince Sam Darnold to play in Denver, he takes a 1-year deal with the Vikings for $10 million. So, Rossini adds, Minnesota was motivated to beat out Denver for Darnold. So, off the,
man, it's nice to be a Chiefs fan.
on to plan B. Sean Payton's like, hey, you know what? We're fine. We're going to get Sam Darnold. I like his skill set. I'll coach him up. Hey, Sean, what's that? He picked Minnesota. What? All right, then.
I mean, how bad have things gotten for you when you're disappointed because you lost out on Sam Darnold? Like, you're fighting over the table scraps of the NFL quarterback position, you know?
Take the disappointed part of it. How bad are things? You just lost out on Sam
Darnold. Yeah. That's what, but like
the fact that you lost out.
Like, I think it's bad enough to be like, oh, we really hope we get Sam Darnold. That's a bad place to be in the first place. Like, that's not where you wanted to be. Even right. The Vikings didn't want to be fighting for Sam Darnold, but at least they got him. If you're the Broncos, you're already in the bad spot of, oh, gosh, I hope we get Sam Darnold, too. Oh, we didn't get Sam Darnold. Oh, my God.
That's great. That's great.
Oh, poor Broncos.
No.
Hate to see it.
Yeah.
I think there might be something there with Sam Darnold. I'm not going to poop on him like you are, Nate. I think that might be a good reclamation project.
I'll be happily proven wrong. He might be, but it wasn't plan A for the Vikings, right? They didn't want to end up in the situation that they were fighting for Sam Darnold. That's just what ended up happening to them.
Everything I've read is they looked at this as a reset year, and this is kind of what the plan has been. They're just going to have a stopgap for 1 year and not over. I mean, they talked to Kirk Cousins. It couldn't work because the money that he was asking for, as you see what he got from Atlanta, if I'm in Minnesota, I say no, I'm good. But it seems like this is a reset year for them, and I don't know.
I mean, I imagine Cousins would have stayed if the Vikings would have paid him the same amount.
I mean, well, yeah, but no.
Right, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're like, no, good luck.
Right.
I can't figure out, is this the same Atlanta team that refused to pay Lamar Jackson when they had a chance to get him last year?
Interesting, huh? I'm not going to pay Lamar Jackson, but Kirk Cousins? Yes.
Coming off an Achilles at his age?
Right.
I mean, he's a fine quarterback. He's a good quarterback. But, I mean, do you not remember how baffled I was? Like, why is Atlanta not jumping all over the opportunity to acquire Lamar Jackson? I couldn't figure it out. I really couldn't. And then you saw the kind of year he had, and I know that he didn't play well in the AFC Championship game, but what he did and what he does is so far and above away anything that Atlanta's had a quarterback for so many years. And you can you imagine the type of excitement he would bring to that franchise? And just he's a hell of a quarterback.
Yeah, he still is the MVP of the league.
He's a hell of a quarterback.
He still is the MVP.
And they just turned their nose up at the opportunity to acquire him, but they couldn't wait. I mean, what the amount of money they paid Kirk Cousins is shocking to me.
Overcorrection.
I think Kirk Cousins, he's a fine quarterback.
He's the best option available. You know? I mean, that's the thing.
If he returns from the Achilles injury to be what he was at his age, I mean, I do think that's a fair.
Who else is out there that's better?
No, I don't disagree
Baker
with you.
Baker wasn't available,
right? I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that, like, he is not young, and that I know people recover from Achilles injuries better than they used to, and it's not like he was ever really mobile, but that's still not a. I think that there's at least a level of concern you have to have there. Now, absolutely. Like you said, there's no. It's like there's a better option.
But still, it's baffling that they went this direction.
Like, could have got a young quarterback in his prime.
Right.
You know,
overcorrection. We're good on Lamar Jackson. Yeah. Kirk Cousins,
but like a superstar quarterback,
right,
who would be the face of your franchise, who would sell tickets,
under
who would bring excitement. It's like, you know,
in his prime,
whatever. So if I'm Minnesota, I'm like, okay, hey, look, they're not going to do anything anyway this year, I don't think. It's just my opinion. And so you take the stopgap, take a look at what's available in the draft. Yeah, don't get caught up in that. And that's probably what they did. They looked at it and they figured out, you know, we're not paying you what you want. And if you're Kirk Cousins, I mean, this man now, he made now $330 million in this league?
Good quarterback, great businessman.
Yeah, solid quarterback. But it's just like, and I know it's a different regime, but it's the same franchise. Like, if you're Carolina, and you sit there with the knowledge that a year ago you could have had two first-round picks for Brian Burns, and then yesterday you trade him for a second and a fifth. I mean, what a gut punch to your fan base. And that's why that past regime is gone, but still, like, what an incredible mismanagement of a franchise. And again, all these different things make you so thankful. I mean, not only for Patrick Mahomes, but also for Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and for the way they conduct business and the way they handle things and the way they've managed this roster. I mean, the Panthers have been so bad and continue to make bad moves. Luke Combs got so pissed off. He was tweeting about it last night. He put in all caps, "What are we doing?" No first round pick for McCaffrey a few years back, and now none for Burns. Are we just firebombing the whole team here or what? I usually don't comment on these kinds of things, but it's just becoming slow torture at this point. So when you got Luke Combs on your ass about moves, then you've gone wrong somewhere. Let me tell you that.
Well, at least they have the first round pick, you know, first overall pick. No. Right?
Nope. No. You know, and passing on C.J. Stroud, just like all these, like.
Right, when their coach wanted him. When their coach wanted him.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
I'm a very successful businessman, and I own the team, so that means I know more about football than you, football
coach.
Coach
is like, this is the guy I want. This guy is going to be the best quarterback in the draft class. Nah. Nope.
That would challenge anyone's ability to continue to be a fan of a franchise. This 2-year run of what they've done and what they haven't done, and every move they've made it seems wrong, is a disaster. It's mind boggling. So I don't know what to tell you about that. As for the Chiefs, there's some now former Chiefs that have left. Top of the list, Nick Allegretti. I think the writing was on the wall when he did that interview with Kay Adams on her show and said he wanted to be a starter. And there's no starting spots open on the offensive line, or at least, you know, where he could play. I mean, he can't play left tackle. But he was going to go and get starter money someplace and get the opportunity to start. That's what he did with Washington. He signs a 3-year, $16 million deal. Gets just over $9 million guaranteed. So congratulations. Get a round of applause for Nick Allegretti, who fought his ass off for this football team in the postseason, replacing an all-pro in Joe Tooney, played through the Super Bowl with the torn UCL. You know, remember he was in tears on the field being interviewed after the AFC Championship game. Was a great guy on and off the field. Teammates loved him. And it just, what a great story of a guy who worked his ass off, worked and stayed ready for an opportunity that may or may not come, and it did in the most pressured environment against elite opposition, and taking over for maybe the best guy in his position in the league, plays at a high level, played through injury, helped his team win another championship, and goes and gets paid by the Commanders. I feel great for Nick Allegretti. That's awesome. Hate to lose him, but he deserved to be a starter. He deserved to get that money, and he earned it. So that was, you know, bittersweet, but I feel great. Awesome for Nick Allegretti, right?
So happy for him to get paid, you know?
Well deserved.
Yeah. I mean, nothing but respect, tip of the cap.
Be rooting for him.
I'm glad he's not going to a Chiefs rival, you know what I mean? Yeah. So we can root for him to do great.
Be blocking for Austin Eckler.
Absolutely earned the paycheck and helped the Chiefs win a Super Bowl, man. A couple of them.
Right. And also that it probably makes John Bernthal happy.
Right.
Because I'm not rubbing your face in this, Jake. I told you this. I'm just telling you a fact. As I was having a conversation with John Bernthal over the weekend at Planet Comic-Con, and we had talked about how we had promoted his appearance. We were talking about him on the show, and he was asking about the radio station. That's the Sports Radio 810. And he even dropped an F-bomb. What the blank is it like to be doing a sports talk show in this town right now? I said,
pretty good, pal.
John Bernthal, it's incredible. You know, it's fantastic. I feel like the Punisher every morning. That's what I feel like.
Like Frank Castle.
And so he was very, and he goes, man, I can't believe it. Because you got to be loving this. I said, well, who's your football team? And he goes, oh, man, I'm from the D.C. area, so I'm a Commanders guy. Yeah. I said, man, I thought Bieniemy was going to help you out more. And he goes, yeah, you know what, though? We got new ownership, and, you know, things are looking better. So I'm excited. I said, go draft yourself a quarterback, and hopefully, you know. And he was a big football fan, so maybe he's excited. He should be about Austin Eckler and getting Nick Allegretti. He'll like him. John Bernthal, the Punisher, will be a fan. So that's all. How about that, Jake?
I love it. I mean, I'm
having a little football conversation with Johnny Bernthal. That was a good moment over the week.
Shane, Frank Castle,
all of it.
Johnny Boy Soprano.
Yeah, whoever. A great actor is what he is.
Yes, he is fantastic. I think the Commanders. I like what they did yesterday.
Nate, I do this because I love you. Because we all have to have different personalities on the show, right? I love the fact that, you know. In a commercial break yesterday, I said, and that's pretty cool. I was talking to football, John Bernthal, and you're like,
yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Every single character that Jake just listed off, I'm pretty sure I've never seen.
Right. and I told you.
I'm just sorry.
No. But I told you, I said, you know who he is. You just don't know that you know.
Right.
Like, if you see him, you see, like, I'm going to throw this out. Have you seen Wolf of Wall Street? Probably not.
Yeah, I didn't know. I saw that one. Yep.
Okay, he's in that. I mean, he's in many movies that you've seen.
Yeah.
Or TV, but you just don't know. You know, you're not making the connection. But then if you say, "Oh, that okay, I got it," so that's all.
Well,
but that's fine.
It's much better to be a Chiefs fan than a Commanders fan right now. Yes.
Right.
Have you watched The Bear? He's in The Bear. Did you watch that yet?
Yeah. I watched the first episode.
Okay.
So there, and then you just stopped? That was it?
We haven't picked it back
the
up.
The best show on TV just wasn't enough for you? Like, ah.
Well, it was...
This thing wins too many Emmys. It's a too widely critically acclaimed. Everyone agrees it's fantastic. I don't like it. Just say it.
I didn't say we didn't like it. We haven't picked it back up. I don't know. It didn't. Yeah. I guess we both thought my wife and I are... You know, trying to watch a show together, but it's hard for us to find the time to get together at the same time and do it right now.
It didn't hook you. I got you.
But you know, I understand that if you give it a few episodes, it probably would hook me a little bit more. You know, we just need to get back around to it.
Yeah, I mean, I ripped through that in like a week.
I bet you did.
Because the episodes aren't very long.
Right. Now, that's one of the reasons we were interested in it. We do want to watch it. We just haven't.
Hey, it's all right, man. You got kids.
You know what? You know what? No, it's not. It's not all right.
No, it's
we'll
not
take a break.
Okay.
Well, it's not okay. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. again, all of the moves yesterday, overwhelming in the NFL. The Chiefs brought back long snapper James Winchester. They lose Tommy Townsend, who signs a deal with the Texans. Nick Allegretti is now with the Washington Commanders. As far as wide receivers, I know a lot of people want the Chiefs to sign a wide receiver. Gabe Davis, who I mentioned I would like them to be interested in, signed a three-year, $39 million deal with Jacksonville. For the amount of money he got, I'm good. Jacksonville can have him. Chiefs don't need to go down that route. Now we turn our eyes to Darnell Mooney because there's still plenty of buzz around the Chiefs and former Bear Darnell Mooney, who had his best year under Matt Nagy in Chicago. And another name that we've brought up, and if you remember last time he was a free agent, I had him on top of my list, and then he signed a deal that the Chiefs were unwilling to match with Washington. And now Jake has brought him back up, and I have reignited my flame for him. Curtis Samuel, I think, could be a very interesting fit for the Chiefs.
For the right price?
And they could use him the way he can do things that they wanted Kadarius Toney and Mecole Hardman to do. Especially like Kadarius Toney, the way that, you know, a lot of the creative ways that Andy Reid has used wide receivers, and that's why I wanted Curtis Samuel the first time around in free agency, but he signed a three-year, $34.5 million deal with Washington. And at that time, the Chiefs weren't going to match it, and it was disappointing because I thought he was a perfect fit. And now he's available again. He's coming off decent years. You know, nothing great, but also remember the dysfunction that he's been playing at or under in Washington. But those two names, and I know other people have mentioned those as well. So Darnell Mooney, Curtis Samuel, I think are two targets that make sense for the Kansas City Chiefs as far as wide receivers. Doubt they could get both of them, but if they could get one of them, I think it would be a savvy move. Nate Ducati, Jake Gutierrez. What about Darnell Mooney and Curtis Samuel?
I think, yeah, what you like about both of them is you can daydream that if you get them out of the terrible situations they've been in, that their production could be even better than what it has been. I thought the same about Richie James, though, last year. You know, I thought he was going to come here, and it was like, boy, if he could put up those numbers in with the Giants, then what can he do in Kansas City? And it didn't turn out that way, so you can't just assume that that's going to be the case, but you can still hope on it. And I think it was Matt Derrick that pointed out to us about the way that Brett Veach approaches the free agency period, so to speak, is if there's one target or two that they really want, they go get them right off the bat. But then they kind of let the dust settle on all the action that happens early. And then everybody spends all their money on the guys they want really badly. And then all of a sudden there's another wave of players like Drew Tranquil was last year that are sitting there. And maybe teams don't all of a sudden have the money to pay those guys because they've spent their money elsewhere. And you can get really good value. And my assumption is that's kind of what we're going to see from Veach. Because their big spending this offseason was get Tranquil and Chris Jones back. And then maybe let the dust settle on all the early spending spree that goes on and then see where they can get the good value. And I trust Veach to be able to find that with whatever they do at wide receiver.
Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I'd prefer Samuel over Mooney. I just like the guy. I think
I'd be happy with either one of them.
I think Mooney's upside's probably a little higher, but I think Curtis Samuel is just a little more consistent.
He has over 700 yards rushing and 7 rushing touchdowns in his career. And yeah. So he's more versatile. They could use him in different ways. But either one of them would provide an upgrade, and either one of them I'd be very happy with if she signed.
Yeah, and obviously we're watching what's going on in Cincinnati as, you know, T. Higgins is pouting and looking for trade out there. But also on the other side is, you know, Tyler Boyd is a free agent, and I wouldn't hurt my feelings if Chiefs made a run at him.
You know,
it'd be weird if it hurt your feelings.
Well, I'm a very you know, emotional guy.
You're very sensitive.
Yeah, very sensitive.
By the way, T. Higgins and all this complaining.
It's fantastic.
He could end up in Carolina if he's not careful. So,
careful with what you wish for, buddy.
I'm just telling you, they're getting some draft capital. Like, oh, you want to complain? Okay. So, yeah. You know, that I that would not shock me.
Well, I mean, Adam Thielen's there still, isn't he? He had a quiet season last year.
You know, when it comes to when it comes to Samuel and Mooney, the only thing, like, the part that I don't know, I think you bring up a really good point, Stephen, about, like, his versatility, Samuel's versatility. You can use him on those jet sweeps and things like that, whatever the Chiefs like to do with some of their receivers. But the other part that I want to know, which guy can pick up Andy Reid's offense and the responsibilities of the wide receiver position? And I don't know how you know the answer to that.
Mooney played for in Chicago when he had his best year.
Well, right. And Curtis Samuel's just coming from Washington, where, you know, he played for Bienemy.
How many similarities were there? You know, you'd like to think, but that, to me, that makes a huge difference. Which guy can pick up? Because we saw how long that we've seen how long it takes some guys. And some guys never seem to figure it out, but other guys, you know, as they pick up, you know, as we saw with Rashee Rice, as he started to pick things up and the nuances of the decision-making you have, it makes all the difference in the world, as much as it does what, like, your physical ability is, it almost seems like, in this offense.
Well, I imagine that's why both those guys are kind of targets for him, because they're both, it seems like they're somewhat familiar with the systems, you know, with Mooney being under Nagy and Curtis Samuel being last season under Bienemy.
He had 81 catches and over 1,000 yards with Nagy as his coach.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, when you go back to why Mooney might have the bigger upside, is you go to that season.
Something else that was interesting. So I mentioned that I thought Detroit was a good fit for L'Jarius Sneed and a good trade partner for the Chiefs. Well, they did trade for a cornerback yesterday, but it wasn't L'Jarius Sneed. But again, this gives you at least something to measure Sneed's trade value against. The Lions sent a third-round pick to Tampa for cornerback Carlton Davis, and they got two sixth-round picks back as well, along with Davis. And so the Lions gave up their own third-round pick, number 92 overall, and they get Carlton Davis and two sixth-round picks in that trade. And then another big blockbuster trade was Brian Burns, the very good pass rusher that was formerly with the Panthers. He goes to the New York Giants in a huge deal, and they end up signing him to a 5-year deal worth $150 million. But the Giants, and I told you, you know, last year the Rams had an offer on the table that included two first-round picks, and the Panthers said no. And so now they have to settle for a second-round pick and a fifth-round pick. And so, you know, clearly L'Jarius Sneed is a better player than Carlton Davis. And so you would expect them to get more. And that maybe that's what it was, where Detroit was talking to Kansas City. They didn't feel comfortable with how much the Chiefs were asking. And so they decided, you know what, we'll just give up a third-round pick for Carlton Davis and get a couple of six rounds back, and if you look at that with a minute, that equals maybe a fourth round pick, right? Burns is considered an elite pass rusher, okay? And so maybe that's the better comparison, because with Burns, not only do you have to acquire him, then you had to pay him, and that's what a team's going to have to do with Sneed. You're going to have to acquire him, and then you're going to have to pay him. And so does that mean anything to you guys that the Giants give up a second-round pick, number 39 overall, and a 2025 fifth-round pick in exchange for Burns, and then give him $150 million deal The teams also swapped 2024 fifth-round picks. And so the Giants sent number 141 to the Panthers in exchange for 166. And so what, if you look at those two trades, what does that make you think about what the Chiefs can or can't get for Legarius Sneed?
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know how to compare. I mean, I've told you that I feel like the Chiefs ought to be able to get more than just a second-round pick. Like, they ought to get a couple picks. Obviously, they play different positions, and, you know, we've been told that for whatever reason, a shutdown corner is not as valuable as a pass rusher. I fundamentally disagree with that personally because I've seen what this secondary was able to do for this Chiefs team this year. So I would like to think that – so it was basically a second round and a fifth round, right? They swapped fifth rounds. Is that what it was?
It's a second and a fifth.
Yeah, I mean –
and they also swapped fifths in this year. It's a fifth next year, so
– I would like to think they could get something like that for Legarius Sneed. You know, I don't understand why they wouldn't, but people tell me that corners don't fetch as much. So,
no, I think that's pretty much what people have been saying: a second round pick and maybe something else.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've been disappointed that it's not a first round pick, and so what I'm asking is: does this make you think that indeed it's a second and something else is what they can get? Because, you know, if you think Sneed's an elite, whatever you think as far as corner or pass rusher, Sneed's an elite corner, Burns is an elite pass rusher.
Yeah.
And they were similar because you had to trade for them, and then you're going to have to give them a big contract.
Right. Right.
And so that's why I think it's somewhat reasonable to compare, because the Giants said, okay, we want an elite pass rusher, second-round pick, fifth-round pick, and then give them a boatload of money.
Yeah.
And so I think it's reasonable for the Chiefs to go out there to the Vikings or whoever is the trade partner now and say, okay, you're going to give us a second-round pick, then you're going to give us another pick, and then pay him the money. And you pay him the money he wants.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Look, I'd love to get a late first-round pick. I just, you know.
No, I've kind of given up on that idea just because it doesn't seem like that's what the market is. But, like, when we were doing the phone call thing when Jake called me as a GM from another team and I played the role of Veach.
Right, Howie.
You know, all he offered me was a second-round pick. And I said, you know, I want a little bit more. I want a little bit more. And, I think a fifth-round pick, I mean, I think maybe you should try to see if you can get a third or fourth-round pick, but it probably is going to be something in the middle rounds. Fourth,
depends
fifth.
On where the second pick is. That,
yeah.
Like 39, yeah. That's a good second-round pick.
Right. That's right. Not all second-round picks are created equal, for sure. Yeah.
Jake, any takeaways from the deals that were made and how they relate to Sneed getting traded?
Well, I think the Lions deal, I think that kind of crosses them off the list for suitors for the Chiefs. But in terms of, look, I think pass rushers are just more valued because there's less of them. You know, you play with literally, depending on your system, you know, you usually play with two edge rushers, right? And so when you're, you know, a lockdown corner, you still have two to three other corners on the field. You know, and so I just think the effect they have on the game and the fact that there's just so few, you know, elite pass rushers in this league that when you're going after that guy, that's why you're going to fetch more for an elite pass rusher and you're going to pay them more. That's, I think, just because the supply and demand, you know, that's why they're valued higher. And I think... You know, I still feel like a mid-second round pick is what the Chiefs are going to end up getting for Sneed. I think because of the fact you have to pay him too, you know, that's just like the Giants did with that, you know, with Burns, which is, I mean, I think that's a great move by the Giants. I think, you know, the fact that the Carolina only fetched a second and a fifth, that's what the market dictates, but what they could have had a year ago for him. It's comical.
Yeah, a year ago the Rams offered a 2023 second-round pick, a 2024 first-round pick, and a 2025 first-round pick. Declined.
Yeah. That's...
So,
whoops.
There you have it. We'll be right back after this on WHB.